Broadcasting live from the Wake Forest Business Radio X studios in North Carolina, it's time for Carolina Connections, the radio show where business leaders connect.
Hello, this is your host, Anne Ravel Petcher. I'm here in the studio today with our producer, Reed Powell. Hello, Reed.
Hello, Anne. How are you?
I am dandy.
That sounds great.
We're going to learn today, Reed, a little bit more about Home for the Brave.
Awesome.
I know you know a little bit about this.
I'm looking forward to learning more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have in the studio three different people who are all business owners who are very involved in an upcoming event called Home for the Brave, which is being held at the Washington Duke Inn on November 6th and 7th. The first person I'm going to introduce to you is Paul Dillon. He is president and CEO of Dillon Consulting Services. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Ann. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you so much.
And April Ellerby, who's the founder and senior events analyst at New Century Planning. Hello, April.
Hi, Ann. How are you?
I'm great. Doesn't she have a great radio voice, everybody?
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, it's fabulous. And welcome back to the studio, TJ Breeden, who's the founder and executive editor of Emerging Entrepreneurs.
Exactly. Hi. Good morning.
Hey, TJ. Good morning. I didn't get to be in the studio with you last time, so you got to fill me in a little bit here. Tell me a little bit about your company.
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. I'm glad that I've been able to come back for a second time in just a few days, and it's exciting to have the opportunity to share a bit about what we're doing. Emerging Entrepreneurs is a nonprofit organization based here in the Triangle, and essentially we offer small business training to veterans, military spouses, and those in underserved communities across our region. We found that particularly those that are serving the military suffer tremendously in terms of how they're able to transition back into society. So what we've wanted to do is create a network of resources, partnerships with universities, and different organizations in the area that are committed to this kind of work. We found a great deal of support, you know, amongst those that are civilian organizations as well as veteran-led organizations that are very passionate about the ways that we can serve those that have given so much in defense of our country. And as an organization, we're committed to doing that same work. So we found that, you know, entrepreneurship is a great pathway for them, mm-hmm. whether it's through franchising. A lot of these people have great leadership capabilities. So what better pathway than to, you know, help them to move into a space where they can be their own boss?
Yeah, and fabulous skill sets, too.
Absolutely. So we've had some success in that space, and now we're sort of transitioning out into more advocacy work, which is why, you know, we created with April Ellerby of New Century Planning, you know, a program where we could, a Champions Leadership Conference, if you will, which is a series of conferences that we host across the country. And we really want to bring attention to these issues and bring really great organizations together so we can collaborate with them.
How did you decide that this was an important thing for you to wrap your arms around?
Well, you know, I sort of took a deep look at the landscape in terms of what was close to me and then what was happening in the broader community. Just to kind of give you an example of what that means, my best friend serves in the Air Force. My friend that I grew up with, since, you know, my cousin, who is also one of my best friends, is also in the Air Force. My grandfather served in World War II. I have an uncle that served in Desert Storm.
Goodness.
I have uncles that served in Vietnam. So even though I didn't serve, my family, you know, has always been very close to this space. Mm-hmm. And so here I am, 2011, 2012, I'm sitting on my couch, and the president is visiting Fort Bragg to honor the 82nd Airborne and Special Operations Forces. And he said something very profound. He said, "For all that you do for us, now it's our time to do something for you." And something just clicked. A moment later, my friend called me. He was stationed abroad. He talked about, you know, some of the difficulties that he was experiencing with his family and how those things were affecting him emotionally and his capacity to serve. A few moments later, my cousin emails me, and so these things are happening. I'm a man of tremendous faith, and I didn't think it was an accident.
Yep.
And so I said, well, how can we create something? What is it that I can do to be able to serve those that are putting themselves in harm's way for me?
So you had a little couch convergence moment there.
And it's exactly what it was. And 4 months later, we launched on January of 2012.
Goodness.
With no fanfare, just sitting at my kitchen table with a website, and we launched it, and we hit send, and it went live, and from there we've had some great things happen, so I know that we're in the right space.
That's fabulous. So does your website then work as sort of a gathering place for people who are from the armed forces as well as people who are civilians?
Well, that's always been sort of the hope, that, you know, essentially we would be able to create a web platform that we would be able to bring people together. even in the in name of our organization, Emerging Entrepreneurs, the M is capitalized in our name. Mm-hmm. So we really emphasize emerging, which means that we want to create a place where people can collaborate and come together. It's only been recently that through our Champions platform that I've really seen that come to fruition the way that I would have imagined that it would, that people really want to come together and support those that have done so much for us. And so hopefully, I think just in, not just in terms of our website, but our overall business platform, that we can serve as that vehicle.
So when you think about your business and you're 5 years down the pike and you sit back for just 5 minutes and you go, we're hitting it, we're doing it. Mm-hmm. Why is that? What is it that you're doing? What does it look like for you to be a success 5 years from now?
I think everyone sort of has a different measure of success. And when you work in the nonprofit space, it's not so much financial. For us, it's about, you know, whether or not we're hitting our social goals. You know, if we really stick within the mission of what we set out to do. You know, we've done some work, me and April and I, we did an event at Fort Bragg. This is a perfect example. We did an event at Fort Bragg called Momentum. It was the first of its kind in which we created an environment where we had workforce solutions. We had people that were there that were looking for jobs. We had about 30, if I'm not mistaken, about 30 folks that were doing on-site interviews. Mm-hmm. We had about 25 universities present to do, you know, help with financial aid and enrollment. Then we had a small business summit. And it was the first of its kind to have all three on a military base in one day. Now, we didn't necessarily have the traffic that we wanted, but those that came felt that it was the most impactful thing they had done all year. So on one hand, you know, in one sense, the numbers matter.
Right.
But on the other sense, it's not so much the numbers, it's the impact. And you right. can make an impact with one person. So if one person came to that event and they felt that they were able to connect with a university, a job, and someone in the small business community that can help them with an idea, then that's a success.
Right.
So I measure it that way. So if we can make an impact with one person locally, or if we, you know, are able to, you know, touch 100 people, 150 new entrepreneurs in a year, it's still about, you know, at the end of the day, whether or not we're able to really sort of to touch those folks intimately and really be able to change their individual lives.
That's really cool. I know that there's a lot of people out there in the world of entrepreneurship who talk about how to help people who are returning from deployment figure out what they want to do next. And there's a I was just actually at a new opening in Wilmington this last weekend for a new makerspace that's there. Mm-hmm. And it's founded by, it's actually a for-profit makerspace, which is interesting, but it's founded by former military who came up with a whole bunch of military products that he wanted to create. Mm-hmm. And he has developed a whole bunch of very interesting opportunities, not just for military, of course, but for anybody to come in and who has an idea. And I'm sure that's exactly what you're trying to do, is to create a different kind of a space, not a makerspace. But if you have an idea, or if you need a little bit of help massaging that idea, that you can help him or her.
Right. And it's interesting to say that, because when I met Mr. Dillon, that was one of the conversations that he and I had, was he's done so much work in the Chicago area in creating incubators and creating spaces for entrepreneurs to explore how they can get their venture launched, how they can secure funding, how they can have access to the proper resources so they can develop and grow their idea. And that's some of the expertise that he brought to not only me as an entrepreneur, but someone who's new to the space. To really be able to understand the needs of veterans, mm-hmm. how to communicate those needs, how to be able to offer the right types of solutions. And so I think that's why it's really great, you know, sort of circling back to our Homes for the Brave conference, is how we've been able to, I think, successfully bring the right people into the room and say, hey, you offer this, we offer this, let's put these folks on a panel to discuss these issues. And also sort of as a secondary goal, to create an environment where people can openly explore collaboration.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you're in a space where you want to serve people, you have to understand that you can't do it alone. I realize that when we, you know, those of us that, you know, sort of commit ourselves to nonprofit work, it can become sort of competitive, because at the end of the day, you're sort of competing for foundation support and nonprofit money and, you know, grants and things of the like. But at the end of the day, it's about the mission. And if we have a common mission and we can come together to explore how we can broaden our collective impact through our work, then that has to be a part of our strategy.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's sort of the overarching goal of our Homes for the Brave conference.
Let's talk a little bit about that collaboration. April, you are with New Century Planning.
Yes, that's
and
correct.
So Paul met you, got to know you, and got to know what you could offer, and somehow the two of you began collaborating on this idea. Tell me about that.
Well, TJ, he and
I'm sorry about
that. No, you're fine. TJ and I, we got together and collaborated. So just to let the cat out of the bag, TJ is actually my brother.
Ah, very so, cool.
So we got together at birth.
Younger brother, not little brother. Younger brother.
So, so both of us, our mother and father, my father's a minister.
So is mine.
Yeah, okay.
Oh,
so you're PK.
Oh, we're in big trouble here.
Oh, yes,
now.
We're in big trouble. So, you know, actually, on the way up here, Avery, which is, she actually has been supporting us quite a bit with this conference, she asked, she was surprised that neither one of us has, you know, moved into the role of ministry. And this is our ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was explaining to her. We have this really big desire to want to change the role, right? Of course, we know that we can't do that, but we can definitely do our part.
Right.
And so looking to do that, we understand that using our skills is the perfect way to be able to do so. So putting your passion and purpose together and making, you know, making a difference. So that is how we actually came up with the idea of looking to, you know, work within underserved communities. We've done that our whole lives.
So you're sitting around the dinner table, right? And you're like, what are we going to do to help push this forward outside of just being a web platform?
Exactly.
And so you said, well, I do events. We got to do an event.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So tell us, let's take a step back and tell us a little bit more about New Century Planning.
Okay.
How'd you get started?
Well, I actually have been in the hospitality industry for quite some time, for over 20 years. And I loved being able to work with different organizations. I was a director at Pinehurst. I was, you know, with a national sales manager with the Convention Visitors Bureau. I also worked for a third event management company. So I've kind of, you know, been in this world for quite some time. And I always loved working with my clients, always loved working with them. And I got to a point where I wanted to work with them exclusively. And I decided at that moment that I was not going to work for anyone else. And I was just going to work with my clients and help them with their, you know, with their issues and the different type of solutions that they were trying to create for their organizations.
So what do you do? How do you create an event?
Well, for the platform has to, we try to create the platform for a client.
So what's that mean?
That means that marketing is events.
Right.
You have to be able to tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't go to, you know, Nike tells a story by, you know, the infomercials that they make.
Sure.
But it's just not about the shoe. It's about the whole experience of what that shoe does.
Right.
And so that's what I do for my clients. I bring light to the experience of what they actually look to do. And so in looking to create these events, that is what we do. We look to be strategic about the type of clients we want to have in the space.
Mm-hmm.
We're strategic about location. Mm-hmm. We're strategic about partnerships. So we want to create those atmospheres so that not only can that client build upon their platform and we've created, but not only that, but we can also take their national initiatives, you know, to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we try to do for our clients.
So when you guys started talking about doing Homes for the Brave, how did you sort of picture this in your head?
That's funny. So in my head, I pictured this not even close to what it is now.
That's usually how it evolves,
yes,
right? It starts somewhere different.
It starts somewhere different. So I pictured looking to have a space of people who really cared about a community that's underserved. And I'm going to make this story really short. But I had the liberty of meeting a young couple last year, and they were both homeless. And I've always been that person that wanted to help homeless people ever since I was a kid, always. And I met a homeless couple, and I really tried to help them, you know, become integrated back into society. It was very difficult. I found that there were a lot of roadblocks that were there for them. And it was very challenging to me because I was very frustrated that I could not help them as much as I wanted to because that there were not enough programs for them. And long story short, the young lady ended up getting killed. She was hit by a car.
Oh.
And things seemed to be going in the right direction. Now, the young man actually got a job. It was just very devastating to me. And I began to know their community. And in that space, there were about four other veterans that were there.
Ah.
So it was very close to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so after, you know, the death of this young lady, I remember standing on the corner and I was talking to one of the veterans and his name is Joe. And Joe said, you know, she was like my daughter. And I said, well, Joe, what are you going to do now? And he said, I don't know. And at that moment, it was to me that God said, you have to do this. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I say it looks nothing like I expected it to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my brother and I, we're not rich by any means.
Yeah.
We just care. So we decided to do this and create this space because I know that something has to be done. As one of the panelists actually said recently, the word homelessness and veterans can't be in the same sentence. But I would like to even see homelessness and youth not be in the same sentence. Homelessness and children not be in the same sentence. Homelessness and women not be in the same sentence. I would like to see the word homelessness just go away. And so I know that we can't make that happen, you know, today, but I'm hoping that in this space we can definitely come up with some solutions so that we can, you know, come, you know, we can create a cure yeah. for this issue.
That's cool. So let's take a step back and talk about your business one more time. Talk to you about the kinds of clients that you have worked with before and maybe describe a few of the events you've done.
Awesome. Well, we'll do so. I have been very fortunate. I've worked with the Democratic National Convention.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah, that was really fun.
So you were over in Charlotte?
We were in Charlotte mm-hmm. at the Duke Mansion, and we had a chance to create a space for all the delegates. They did not want to leave. we used a 1920s theme, which fit perfectly with the venue. I've had a chance to work with Sundance Film Festivals with some of the award-winning filmmakers. I also was a part of the work with the Executive Alliance, which is also known as the My Brother's Initiative, My Brother's Keeper Initiative mm-hmm. that President Obama has put in place. Mm-hmm. So I've had a lot of great opportunities to work with, you know, the Robert Johnson Foundation, the Knight Foundation, some great organizations. And I see the wonderful work that has been done with those organizations. And so I think I take that with me.
Yeah.
In looking to work with all the different clients that I move forward with.
So you can do every aspect from strategic planning.
Absolutely.
Right on to decorating the space.
Absolutely. And even travel as well. American Express is actually our partner. American Express is the largest travel organization in the world. Mm-hmm. And they are our exclusive partner. So there is nothing that we cannot offer.
So you help with marketing.
Everything.
Getting the word out.
Absolutely.
All of it.
Absolutely.
That's pretty impressive.
It is. It's impressive.
You must have a team of 1,000.
Well, 1,005. But it's, you know what? I enjoy it.
Yeah,
I love
I can
it.
Tell you do.
I do.
Yeah,
I
you
do.
Could talk about that business forever,
I
couldn't
could,
you? Because that's
could.
Really your heart and soul.
Absolutely.
That's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
Is there one particular project that you want to highlight?
I would say this one.
Well, cool. Well, we're going to come back and talk more about that. I want to talk now to Paul Dillon, who is the CEO of Dillon Consulting Services. And Paul is also a Department of Veterans Affairs Certified Service Disabled Veterans Owned Small Business. Boy, that's a mouthful. I think that they should come up with an acronym, don't you, Paul?
They do. It's the initials for that.
I would guess maybe. Right. But you're based in Durham and Chicago. Tell us a little bit more about what you do, what kind of consulting you do.
I started out this business in 2006 when I retired from the McLeodry accounting firm. And
McLeodry, wow.
I was on the consulting.
You didn't look anything like an accountant.
I wasn't. I was on the consulting side. I don't wear a white shirt, and I have a sense of humor. So, I formed the business, and I started out providing marketing, business development services, and project management services for clients in the service industry.
Oh.
But I came upon one major client, and that's Crane Chicago Business, which is the regional business publication in Chicago. It's much like the Triangle Business Journal, except it's bigger because Chicago is a bigger metropolitan area.
Mm-hmm.
And they started me on researching veterans issues. And I do research for them on articles that they might want to write and help them with some of their events. And they came to me in 2011 and they said, we know that businesses in Chicago are hiring veterans, but we don't know anything about it. And we'd like to maybe do something in the publication, whether it's a story, whether it's a section, whether it's an advertising supplement. Mm-hmm. We don't know, but we need somebody to go out and research it. And Dillon, you're the guy because you're a vet to do that. So I took upon myself to do that. I did much more than was necessary for
or probably paid for either.
5,000 times more than I got paid for.
I know that story.
But produced, and TJ has seen the volume of research that I did for them back in 2011 about all the programs and all the companies in Chicago, all the companies in Chicago that hire veterans specifically, and all the programs for support of veterans who are looking for employment. So I knew the landscape, not only in Chicago, but many of these were national programs. So I knew the landscape across the nation of what was happening with veterans employment. And that's how I started to get into this. I didn't intend to become a professional veteran, you know, this, that launched me into starting down the road of researching and helping veterans who want to start their own businesses and or become employed. That's how this all started, and it went on to several different iterations after that.
So now, is your consulting firm mostly doing research, or who do you serve exactly outside of Cranes?
Really, Cranes is my main client, and this is kind of a retirement job for me.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not looking
You're
for.
You're not old enough to retire.
You'd be surprised. but I thank you for the compliment. I really do. And so I've been really working mainly with Cranes. I've only been in North Carolina about a year. Came here last November.
Well, welcome.
Thank you. It's a lovely state, and I really enjoy
Great.
Being here.
We're glad to have you.
And you have much nicer winters and a lot better queue. So I really enjoy being in North Carolina.
Great,
and I
good.
Operate somewhat in Chicago, too, and mm-hmm. and here. So
So you're a veteran, and you're a veteran of which? Were you involved in a particular war, or...?
Yes. Unfortunately, I was involved in the Vietnam War.
Okay. It's interesting, as somebody who just watched it on television, and I was very young, believe me. That's what I grew up with, and it scared me to death. It was really funny. My husband's family served. My father served. And when my son was in high school and everybody was knocking on his door, I was like, mm-mm, I watched the Vietnam War on TV and you are not going there. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
It was a heck of a time. And I think being on the inside, you must have a whole lot of stories for us.
Well, I do. And I've told them over the years, I was an ROTC graduate in college and was a Army Reserve First Lieutenant in Vietnam. And
wow.
I ran all of the...
Boots on the ground kind of guy.
Yeah, and I ran all the air traffic control for the Army
wow.
over there. So it was an interesting experience a difficult year because I had just gotten married and
uh-huh.
my daughter had just been born. Very difficult year, but
it's a thing that many, many people who serve experience. They are separated from their families,
and that was difficult. I mean, very difficult to be separated, particularly with a newborn,
mm-hmm. Half a world away.
Half a world away, but you know, it's you survive it, and you go on then to other things. You know.
Right, exactly. Well, tell me about when you came out and you came home, and you're home again from Vietnam. I was pretty young again, but I was a voracious consumer of the news, and I would watch people who weren't—they didn't seem to be treated very well when they came home from Vietnam.
That's an understatement. I came back in early 1971. In the midst of a recession in that time period. And not only were there very little services for us, many of us were shunned for serving in that war. So it was a much different era and a much different view towards veterans. At that point in time, the country couldn't separate the warrior from the war. Warrior and the war became synonymous. So if you hated the war, you hated the warrior. Here, at this time, thank God, people have been able to separate the warrior from the war. And no matter what your viewpoints are of the war, there is great honor for those who are served. And in 2012, met an extremely high-ranking general who put his arm around me and said, you know, Paul, it's our responsibility now to make certain that no veteran is ever treated the way you guys were treated when you came back from Vietnam. And I shook my hand, and he actually had tears in his eyes, and I was very taken aback by that. It was a very sincere sentiment, and I think all the wonderful support that you're seeing now across the nation for veterans is a result of what occurred during that time period.
Yeah. So tell us about the kinds of support that you do see now.
In the research that I did for Cranes back in 2011, some numbers came out. And I suppose that they're still valid. And those numbers were that in this nation, there is between 4,000 and 8,000 websites devoted to the care of veterans in all areas in this nation. There is between 40,000 and 50,000, let me repeat those numbers, 40,000 and 50,000 separate organizations in this nation devoted to the care of veterans coming home. Everything from major organizations to mom and pop operations and who want to raise money to help their local veteran and their local communities. So it's a whole different world now regarding support for veterans. There are a lot of organizations like TJ's that are doing just wonderful work and have great meaning and great value to supporting these young warriors coming home from Iraq and Afghanistan.
Let's talk about that for a minute. Let's talk about Homes for the Brave. Let's talk about about Homes for the Brave as a place for veterans to go and get support and for the people who are saying, you know, we don't want to relive what happened after Vietnam. You know, we're kind of embarrassed about that, frankly, that we were so maybe naive or we weren't really as open-minded and perhaps well-educated as we should be about it. And so we don't want that to happen again. And when people, both civilians and business owners and universities, and when everyone gathers at Homes for the Brave, what are they going to find? What kind of people are they going to find gathered there from the armed forces?
I think it's a really great collection of people. We'll have some folks that represent federal agencies that are there. For instance, we have, you know, representative from Veterans Affairs that works specifically in helping with workforce solutions. She's going to be represented there.
Would you think that that's one of the biggest concerns is jobs when they come back?
I think you know, the way that April and I have discussed, the way that we wanted to approach our conference is to sort of embrace a holistic approach to helping veterans. So that includes the health aspect of it. You have to be able to meet people's needs where they are. So that includes jobs. That includes, you know, the social needs of, for instance, there's a gentleman, Bob Curry, who has an organization called Dry Hooch. It's out of Wisconsin.
Dry Hooch.
Not
as in Chattahoochee, but as in Hooch.
So Hooch. In 2012, I received the White House's Champion of Change Award for our work in the veteran space. And he was one of those that was acknowledged alongside me during that class. And so, you know, his organization creates an environment where veterans can come together and create sort of a peer-to-peer relationship with one another and to be able to discuss these issues. So he's not a federal agency. He's a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. So you have a representative from the VA. You have someone that deals in healthcare. You have someone like me that's in entrepreneurship. You have someone in the peer-to-peer space. So you bring, I think, a very diverse group of people together to discuss these issues, and it creates, I think, an environment where even greater collaboration can happen. If you have people that sort of work in the same area and everyone sort of talking the same language, mm-hmm. then the solution is going to be the same.
Right.
And then something that April will probably talk about more in depth is bringing veterans into the space so that they can make sure that they can sort of be the, you know, sort of the voice of reason, so to speak, to make sure that the solutions that we're proposing are ones that make sense. Mm-hmm. Because you have to have the community that you hope to serve in the space to be able to really have a clear understanding of what these issues are and whether or not we are approaching those discussions the right way. For instance, you know, of course, we're a civilian organization, so it's very important for me to have, you know, to have an open mind to learn on a daily basis about how we should approach working with the military.
Mm-hmm.
So having them in that space is going to be really helpful too. So I think, again, having a diverse group of folks from healthcare and workforce and the federal government and nonprofit space and for-profit, and then also bringing in researchers and veterans and even those that have been displaced and have found their way back into transitional housing and are trying to find steady feet in this economy, all of those people in one room can really, I think, really help us to create the environment that we want. And then also faith-based organizations to be able to discuss the social impact of how all of this stuff really, you know, sort of comes together from a social perspective.
I think it's hugely important to one of the things that TJ and I discussed. I mentioned earlier the opportunity to work with wonderful organizations. And one of the things that I always wondered is, you know, we come together to talk about the populations that we're working with, but a lot of times those organizations are not represented or those individuals are not mm-hmm. represented. And so it was imperative to have, you know, veterans, just as TJ mentioned, that, you know, may be homeless or who actually have been homeless to be in that space. So I had the opportunity to meet with some individuals that are actually in a transitional housing last week, and it changed the perception completely for what we're doing. I have never seen people who were so excited to have their voice heard.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. And it actually brought tears to my eyes because it wasn't what I was expecting. I know that we want to make sure that, like TJ mentioned, to have solutions that make sense. And we need to hear from these individuals. But I think that it was beyond that for them. They felt like no one had ever wanted to hear their voices.
Yeah.
They were much like Paul. They came from a generation where their voices were not heard.
Mm-hmm.
And they've never been heard. And
so you're not, these aren't people who are necessarily just recently off deployment. These are people who you could be from any
absolutely
era.
And I think that's an important point, because it's my understanding, although I haven't seen the data on this, but it's my understanding that the largest number of homeless veterans are from the Vietnam era. So it isn't the younger people coming home necessarily. It's the Vietnam veteran and perhaps a little older. The Korea veterans would be in their 80s now. And unfortunately, World War II, those are
fewer
thousand a day are dying tragically. So it's really my age group that is the largest user or have the largest need for housing and all of the ancillary assistance that needs to come with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually have been seeing a lot of people coming out of the armed forces recently that have such amazing training. They're coming to the workforce with some technology skills that are so needed in the world of business right now. And I'm wondering if there isn't an opportunity for us to also begin to sort of change the discussion where we can say, look, these people are so important to our workforce and to the future of America because they have the skill sets that we need to plug in right now.
And I think that's an extremely important point to begin to change the narrative. And the media has, and rightfully so, I understand this, and it's come from a good place in their heart, concentrated on all of the problems and PTSD and mental health issues and whatever. And but that has caused some problems regarding employment, because it is, I think, stigmatized the entire veteran population, that these young people coming home, everybody has mental unbalanced or whatever, and that isn't true.
Yeah, and you did a great story in Forbes for that.
Yes, that was the subject of an op-ed that I recently wrote for Forbes, and they published that, you know, it's 20% of the veterans coming home, roughly, we think, that have issues of PTSD and TBI, traumatic brain injury, and it's an important.
And 20% is too much.
It's a devastating number. And thank God there's so much treatment now for programs now for treating that. But when the media is concentrated on this day in and day out, and
we're not hearing about
the 80% and all the wonderful skills that they bring, nor are we realizing that even those veterans with PTSD and TBI, when those conditions can be alleviated, they come back with the same skills and are very employable.
Sure, absolutely.
And so the skills of a commitment to accomplishing the mission, discipline, a sense of honor, and most important, the ability to really pivot on a moment's notice as they're trained in the military from plans that aren't working to plans that are. And those are very valuable skills that any employer at any level should want to have in their workforce.
Tell me about what a really successful Homes for the Brave is going to look like for you guys. Is there one or two, three things that you want to see happen as a result of this event?
For me?
I want it from each of you. So each of you give me one or two things.
Okay. I think I would love to see change happen in that space. I would love to be able to see organizations come together, leave, and, you know, share what work has been done within those communities after this event.
Better knowledge is happening, and then new ideas that they can collaborate on.
Absolutely.
Those
and
would
I,
be your
and
two
I think to the voice of the individuals that have not been heard, so that we can make sure that these solutions that we're creating really change lives, not just the lives of those that we haven't met, but the lives of those that we are touching right now.
Okay. All right. Paul, what do you want to see come out of this event?
Something very similar. And there's a lot of great work that's being done here in North Carolina regarding veterans. The governor has a veterans focus group that meets once a month at the National Guard headquarters up in Raleigh. And I attend that. There's a meeting this coming Thursday. And it's really wonderful to see all the great work that's being done by all of these organizations. So I'd like to see the conference really be added to that, and really serve as a focal point, at least in the Triangle area, for services and programs that are helping veterans. There's an important point, though, and that's that in this state, and I think it might be true in many states, half of the veterans live in rural areas. So the Division of Veterans Affairs for North Carolina has done a wonderful job in putting their veteran service officers in locations throughout the state, but veterans have to know about them and then access them, and I think that
and that's what you're hoping for this.
Yes, and the concentration on the rural veteran is very important and I think perhaps overlooked in many instances. Mm-hmm. Maybe that'll be brought out in the conference.
Yeah. And TJ, what do you want to have come out of this?
Well, I think, you know, my goal and what I'm really hopeful for is a couple of things. I think, of course, collaboration is sort of the core of what we hope to achieve in mm-hmm. bringing really smart people together to mm-hmm. explore ways we can work together. But not only the exploration of that, I want to see the execution of that. I think it's one thing to come into a room and say that we're going to work together. I want us to be able to sort of gather again 3 or 4 months later and to be able to see that we have strategically put in place new programs and initiatives that came as part because we were able to come together. That this organization didn't even know that this other organization existed.
Right.
And that because they came together through our space, mm-hmm. that they created an event or a program or a resource that is now being sort of offered to veterans in a completely different capacity. I think, you know, we talked about this earlier, is that, you know, within the nonprofit space, a lot of times we sort of approach our work individually. But I think, you know, because the veteran need is such a big need, that it's time for us to sort of begin to explore how we can come together and solve these solutions collectively. So for me, the collaboration part is really big, but I think also we want to create a research component, a solutions guide, if you will, after we complete our symposium, to be able to sort of document what folks have said, what their solutions are, what their services are, distribute that information to our attendees or those that are sponsors and all those great things, mm-hmm. so that we can share, you know, how we can move forward and how we can come together from a long-term perspective, how we can sort of come together to achieve these and help solve some of these problems.
And there's one more thing I'd like to say.
Want three things to come out of this?
I do. I think that this is maybe one of the most important things. One of the things that I'd love to see come out of this conference is that there are a lot of people that do work on the ground. So there are a lot of grassroots organizations, nonprofit organizations, and their funding is so limited. And so what happens is we have all these wonderful organizations. And so just like as Paul mentioned, there are between 40 to 50,000 organizations that do all of this work. But they have the hardest time with the funding aspect to keep the doors open.
Sure.
And so we need to be able to find ways to help these organizations with funding mm-hmm. so that they can continue to do that work.
Sure.
And that is very important, I think, because, again, the people that are on the ground are the most important. If we don't have people like Paul, if we don't have people like TJ, and if their doors cannot remain open, then these services, you know, cannot be produced.
So I'm going to go around to each person as we're signing off. I want everybody to give the audience an opportunity to know how to reach out to you about your own individual businesses. And then we'll wrap it up also with TJ doing double duty and telling us how they can buy tickets and how much they cost, et cetera. But while you do that, I'm going to ask you to give a shout out to one organization. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't love all the rest of them, but you got to just talk about one organization, what they do, and if you know their contact information or their website information, so that you can share it. And I'm going to start this by giving the shout out, as I suggested earlier, to this Wilmington makerspace. It's with an organization called Elite Innovations, and they've opened a new makerspace where anybody with an idea can come there and build it, and they will help you build it. They have everything from 3D printers on out to interesting, you know, woodworking tools and welding things and sewing machines that are industrial sized and CAD work, and they will teach you how to do CAD. So they are really there trying to give back, and it's founded by a couple of veterans, and I really encourage people to go to eliteinnovations.com and see if there might be a good plug in there for you after your deployment. So I'm going to start over here with Paul. Dylan, why don't you give everybody a shout out to somebody and then tell us how we can get in touch with you.
I think the great work is being done here in North Carolina by the North Carolina Division of Veterans Affairs. And they really pull together a lot of separate organizations. I don't have their website in front of me, but if you Google North Carolina Department of Veterans Affairs, you can find it. And they've just done remarkable work in pulling together organizations to help veterans at all levels.
Super.
And their counterpart in Illinois, too, has done very,
excellent.
Very well, the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs. And I You can reach me through my company website, which is www.dillonconsult.com. It's DILLONCONSULT.com.
Excellent.
And I'd be glad to answer any questions that anybody might have.
Great. Thanks for your time, Paul. And thanks for your service.
Thank you so much.
April. Give us a shout out.
I will give a shout out. It's going to be a dual shout out, so forgive me.
Oh, you know, she always wants more, April.
I am the middle child, so I'm sorry. during this process, we've had a chance to work with a lot of wonderful organizations. And one of those organizations has been the North Carolina Institute of Medicine. I did not even know that they existed in North Carolina. But the executive director, Adam, he has been wonderful with connecting me with wonderful organizations that are within this space, mm-hmm. That would like to work within this space. So I have to definitely mention their organization. Just a wealth of knowledge. With working within underserved communities.
Great.
And then the second organization I'd like to mention is Creative Management Staffing Services. I actually work with this organization as well, with consulting with them and helping them build their business and working with different organizations. The great thing about this organization is it is owned by a veteran, and he started this organization because he understands how hard it was to transition back into civilian life. Mm-hmm. So his whole goal for this organization is to work with veterans and non-veterans, but specifically working with veterans to help them transition back into the workforce.
Okay,
and
cool.
So I have to give a shout out to his organization as well.
Excellent.
And if anyone wants to reach me, they can reach me. My organization is New Century Planning, www.newcenturyplanning.net. And all of my contact information is found there as well.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
And finally, last but not least, TJ.
My goodness, you know, there's a lot of people that I probably
I know,
name.
It's really, really hard to only pick one. And no one has a favorite child. I'm just saying, no one has a favorite child.
Right. I mean, the youngest usually gets that award.
Well,
that,
of course we do. But yeah.
Most of the time. But I think one group that I think deserves recognition and it's something, you know, April has done a lot of work with them, and that's the U.S. Public Health Service. We are honored to have the acting U.S. Surgeon General, Dr. Boris Lushniak, to serve as a speaker for our conference.
Wow, cool.
We have to acknowledge the work that they do in serving the health needs of our nation's most vulnerable. And so to have a commitment of participation in terms of just speaking and coming and just sharing a word with our attendees is going to be a powerful moment for our conference.
Right.
So, you know, if we have to give a shout out to one person, we have to give a shout out to them, because, you know, having them attend has, of course, brought a lot of attention. But I think more so than that is, you know, the work that they do and really wanting to serve the needs of our community's health, the health needs of our communities underserved, is going to be a really important piece to our conference.
Great.
For those that are looking to get in contact with me, of course, visit us online at www.emerginginc.org. Again, that's emerging, E-M-E-R-G-I-N-G, Inc, I-N-C, .org. And of course, they can visit us online to learn more about our conference, www.homesforthebrave.us. And that's homes with an S, forthebrave.us.
Excellent. Thank you all so much for being here and for everything you're doing to help our veterans and to actually help our region grow and become a better place to live. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ann.
And until next time, this is Ann Ravel-Petcher for Carolina Connections.